Wow. So, I'd like to ask you about the Milknot jails. Tell me a little bit about this. Where'd the idea come from, and how did it get started?
Well, the idea kind of came about through collaborating on a lot of different seemingly unrelated projects. So I had spent a lot of time doing criminal justice organizing in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was also simultaneously working with some people on managing a CSA for a farmer in New Paltz and mm-hmm. their CSA distribution in Brooklyn. And started noticing that those two projects, which seem totally unrelated, kind of occupy the same spaces. So the neighborhoods with really high incarceration rates, there were no fresh vegetables in those neighborhoods.
Mm.
And we would take these busloads of people from the Section 8 housing development near our house to the farm to, you know, pick vegetables and learn about farming and just get out of the city. And many of the women on the bus rides up to the farm would mention that the only time they'd been upstate is to go visit a loved one in prison. And it just seemed like there were these rural and urban spaces that were connected in kind of dysfunctional ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also politicians kind of pitting these communities against each other in a variety of ways. So I started thinking that maybe we needed to, I guess, take a geographic approach to how we organize around issues, mm-hmm. move away from, like, single-issue organizing
mm.
to really thinking about strengthening the urban-rural relationship in a way that might benefit everybody in multiple ways.
So how did it go from CSAs to Milk in particular?
Well, after I worked on a campaign against the prison telephone industry, I got a fellowship to go live in a prison town
mm-hmm.
Because I was interested in kind of finding out how to get past some of the economic arguments that rural politicians would always put in the way of criminal justice reforms. So they'd essentially say, like, you can't change this law because we're going to lose prison guard jobs in our community and that's going to devastate the economy. So I wanted to figure out, like, how to respond to that question, because the urban politicians that were advocating for the changes really didn't seem to know how to get around that issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to a prison town thinking that I would do community development work, help people figure out other economic opportunities, kind of get a sense of how people felt about living in a prison town.
How did people feel about it?
Well, I haven't met anyone who's really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's totally an economic relationship that they have with it. The town that I was living in, people would refer to it as the last factory in town.
Oh, wow.
And I think it just had tons of negative impacts. I mean, every prison town I've been to, Main Street just is like, there's nothing going on. And people complain about crime having risen as a result of there being a prison in town, which is interesting. And for the most part, I think it creates this really negative relationship between New York City residents and prison town residents, because especially because I guess the prison population is so heavily Black and Latino. I feel like a lot of the prison towns I went to that were predominantly white people have a really negative view of people of color because they only see them in cages, or for the most part. So I think people that I met in the town that I was living in, they wanted more, but they didn't necessarily know how to get it. So I was working on that at the same time that there was all of this national media around the crisis with the federal milk marketing order and the price of milk that year, and how there were all these farmers shutting down their businesses. There was one that committed suicide that year, and thought that it would be interesting to try and approach dairy farmers first as a, I guess, industry to kind of collaborate with on transcending the prison economy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard the podcast Cutting the Curd?
Mm-mm.
On the Heritage Food Radio Network?
Oh, no.
Which is out of Roberta's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I don't
know if you've been there.
Yeah.
but they had an episode I think maybe it was 4 episodes ago, that was talking about milk prices, and I think it aligned a lot with some of the work that you're doing. So
cool.
I'll have to forward it your way.
I gotta check out that podcast.
Yeah.
So how exactly will the milk not jails benefit both parties?
Well, basically, I guess the question that, or the theory we're testing with this project is, can alternative economic or new economic relationships produce political power? And so there's all of these farmers in rural New York that want to keep farming, that want farming to be viable. And they happen to live nearby all these prisons where their local politicians are insistent on keeping the prisons as a predominant part of the local economy. So what we're trying to do is build a dairy marketing cooperative that will, I think, eventually just be a marketing cooperative for New York State farmers in general. And for a farmer to become a part of that cooperative, they sign on to a political platform. So we're putting that together right now, but the idea is if we can find farmers that support criminal justice reform and we help them sell their products, then what we're doing is creating more economic power for farmers, and the trade-off is that they vocalize their concerns about the criminal justice system as we're advocating for change in those areas. And then we're also creating this concrete example of a way that urban and rural people can have an economic relationship that isn't centered around the prison industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the idea of what we're trying to do. So we're building this business right now, this dairy marketing cooperative, and we're also kind of trying to identify what policy changes we need, what our political demands should be. So because we know that farming is really difficult for small family farms, and that's the kind of farming that we're trying to promote, not industrialized farming, but farming that employs people.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be viable by getting more consumers in New York City or Syracuse or other urban centers to purchase locally. But there's also, you know, all of these international and federal and state policies that make it really difficult for small family farms to survive. So we need systemic change in order to really make agriculture a viable industry for rural New York. So we're putting together a policy platform that's both a mixture of issues pertaining to agriculture and issues related to the criminal justice system.
Hmm. Does any of it deal with the food policies within the prison?
We haven't really looked into that. So the way that we've been approaching building this political platform is basically just by feedback we've gotten from people in the criminal justice advocacy world and then farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the criminal justice side, there's a handful of issues that there's already a lot of groups organizing around. And what they need from us is they need more rural support for those campaigns. So they're really focused on changing the parole system, making it so that felons can vote, increase an alternative to incarceration programs, that kind of stuff. And then the things that farmers have identified have been more along the lines of the federal subsidies and milk marketing order being a big hurdle to them, taxes being a big hurdle, farmland preservation. There's a lot of farmers that have mentioned to us that if they were able to sell raw milk off of their farm, that would be a big boost to them. So no one's really identified the food in the prison system as a major issue, although farmers do bring it up because there used to be farms at a lot of New York State prisons that the state shut down like 2 years ago. So they already do see that they're connected to the prison system in that way.
Mm-hmm. Is there any plan to get people who were incarcerated to be working in the process, either in distribution or at some level with the products?
Yeah. We are starting this business as a marketing and distribution business because we know that there's these farmers that need local consumers. And being primarily based in New York City right now, our kind of specialty is, like, we know the markets that are there and new markets that farmers could break into. And so we're building, you know, our marketing and sales business around that part of it. And we're working with a couple of groups that already do reentry programs to try and develop jobs for people coming out of prison in that area. And then as this business grows, we're going to hopefully identify new areas that people coming out of prison or people in rural New York can feed into, you know, be it in the farming end or processing or distribution and sales.
So how far away is the group from starting your first milk sale or...
Well, we're pretty close. We just raised a bunch of money on Kickstarter.com for a refrigerated truck because we know that that's, like, one of the main pieces of infrastructure we need to get rolling. Mm-hmm. And so in the next couple of months, we're setting up in New York City a citywide dairy share program for all of the CSA distribution sites in the area. There's about maybe 50 locations throughout New York City where farms distribute their CSAs to their members. So... dairy products aren't currently available at any of those CSAs, so we're hoping to kind of offer it across the board to all of the CSAs in the city. And that's the first thing that we're going to be starting, which we're going to start enrolling people in that probably as soon as February, but the sales for that won't start till June. And then after that, we're going to be, after February, we'll start, I guess, pushing the other markets that we're focusing on, which are coffee shops, daycares, and supportive housing units, which are all kind of institutional buyers that have some leeway about where they can buy products. And we're starting that in New York City, but we're hoping to expand it, you know, over the next year to include other urban areas throughout the state.
And where will there be a Milk Not Jails label or something that's on the product itself to inform people of the process and what they're contributing to when they purchase the product?
Yes, we're just finishing up the emblem that you'll see on products that are produced by farmers who are part of the Milk Not Jails cooperative. And I guess the best way to kind of describe it is it'll kind of be something like the Fair Trade logo. So, you know, you won't see something that is just labeled Milk Not Jails, but you'll see this logo that will signify that they've signed on to the political campaign.
Mm-hmm. And how can people who are interested help out in this cause if they're so inclined?
Well, it's all volunteer run, so we need all the help we can get, and there's a lot of different ways people can get involved. We're really interested in getting more people upstate and in rural areas involved, and we really like to do outreach and utilize the arts to convey our message. There's a lot of market research we need to do. We need people with technical and web development skills to help. The best way to get involved is we have monthly meetings the third Tuesday of every month that people can call into. And you can find that information on our website, milknotjails.org. There's also a listserv there that you can sign up for. And I think there's descriptions of all of our working groups, so check it out and contact us.
And anything that I didn't ask you that was important that we missed?
I don't think so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.